Jesus in Matthew 21:22 said, "And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, what? Believing you shall receive." Are your prayers sometimes a kind of a prayer, a sinful prayer like mine were for years? "Dear Lord, I'd like this, but I'm pretty," and my thought was, "but I'm pretty sure you're not going to do it." That's a sinful prayer. Our prayers should be a prayer of faith that God will do what he has promised and that he'll help us to fulfill the conditions so that he can do what he has promised. Then we look at whereby are given unto us exceeding, in 2 Peter 1:4, the text this morning, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Notice they are gifts. They're given to you, and a gift must be received. "Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And since we have such an awesome God, such a wonderful God, I'm going to suggest that we start this meeting with our theme song, our crusade theme song, "Everything's All Right." I'm asking my sweetheart to step to the piano. And how many of you were here yesterday, last evening, or this morning when we sang that song? Oh, good. We're going to have a lot of support. You'll learn it. It's a very simple song, but we need to remember what the message is in this song, that everything is all right in my Father's house. All right? Would you like to stand with me and we can sing this together, please? Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. I apologize. I need to explain to you that when we sing the word joy, we need to look joyful. And it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible because the mouth forms an oval. Have you noticed that? So I'll show you how to put a little postscript on the word joy. There is joy. 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 Takes a lot less muscles, too. Okay. All right. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. To my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. All right, come and go with me to my Father's house. Amen? Let's shake somebody's hand. Give somebody a nice little hug next to you as we sing this song. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. And we respond by saying, "We will go with you. We will go with you to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. We will go with you to my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy." You look so happy and wholesome. Thank you. You may be seated if you choose. God is good to bring us together here. I remember when we were at the Coos Bay Church in Oregon several years ago, someone asked if we were possibly related to Bob Newhart, the television personality. Some of you may remember Bob. And I said, "Well, I don't know. Why do you ask?" And they said, "Well, because there's a family resemblance." And I said, "Well, they said, do you know? And I says, well, I noticed that Bob Newhart's name is not spelled like Newhart as you see it in the flyer in your bulletin this morning. Newhart is spelled N-E-U-H-A-R-T-H. Bob Newhart spells it N-E-W-H-A-R-T. But I was impressed to write Bob Newhart at his office in Chicago, and I said, Bob, enclosed is a snapshot of me and my brother. Would you take a look at this and tell us if you think we are possibly related? Your name's not spelled like my parents spelled Newhart. So Bob replied. You know, I'm surprised that he even replied. And he wrote back a letter something like this, just a short letter. And he said, Dear Bud, I was known as Bud in those days. He says, Dear Bud, I looked at that snapshot and I looked at my face in the mirror. I did it three times. And I've come to the conclusion that we have got to be related. We are both ugly. That should teach us a lesson about asking someone who's not serious a question like that, right? Yeah. Sin is ugly. Amen. A holy God cannot put up with sin. We're looking at the solution to the sin problem. Amen. We're looking at the solution through the ABCs of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, as we've already indicated, that all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. My prayers for years were sinful prayers, as I mentioned a moment ago. But as we traveled with the Glenn Kuhn prayer crusade, we learned that God means what he says, and that God is able to deliver what he promises, and that this book is a book of promises, God's love letter. It's a very personal book for you and for me. As we've traveled from church to church, I've noticed as we've spoken with people at these various churches, nearly 250 now in the last dozen years or so, that very few people were just as I was years ago. The very few people do not read the Bible, and that includes Seventh-day Adventists. It's amazing. They come for the spiritual food on the Sabbath, but we must take this spiritual food daily. And if we don't have the appetite for it, we need to pray that God give us the appetite, that we will partake of this love letter daily, every day. My wife and I read from the Old and the New Testament every day, and it's made a remarkable change in our lives. It's made us believers in this awesome God, in this awesome God where we can think big and pray big and believe big. Let's just take a look at some of the promises in the Bible. And by the way, years ago when we started traveling, and we traveled with Pastor Glenn Kuhn for some dozen years, someone at our very first seminar gave us a plaque which we carried in our motorhome for years. We still have it in our home. It's kind of beaten up, but there's a lot of truth in that. It says, the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And while we're considering that, we need to remember, too, that in Psalm 16:11, God's word says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's what we seek. That's what the human heart longs for. Fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Amen? Would you say that's true? I think when we're talking with people, like in my own family, we have brothers and sisters that are not of this faith. All they're seeking is fullness of joy, and the challenge is, God, speak through us as we speak to them, as we relate to them, to draw them to Christ, to draw them to this big, awesome God. Amen. Let's take a look at just a few of the promises we have in this short time. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I notice that's displayed in the church office. I notice that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then what happens? And he will direct thy paths. Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, that's Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. By the way, I'm so happy to see so many people bring God's love letter, the Bible, with them, and they're referring to it. Check me out. Check. When you hear somebody speak spiritual things, be sure you check it out in the book. This is why so many people get misled. They'll hear somebody say something, and it's not necessarily according to the Scripture. If they haven't had a time with God, they can't be sure, right? So take time. I'm glad to see so many of you do that. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart from out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's the promise where God promises obedience. Obedience, amen. That's what we need to remember, to stand fast. In Matthew 6:33, we read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What a powerful promise. Amen. We need to believe that promise. We need to act on that promise. We need to thank God that he's doing that marvelous work in our hearts that only he can do. I'd like to illustrate that particular text with a story. When we were in Miami with a crusade some years ago, we met a delightful couple, senior citizens. Senior citizens, Pastor Kuhn said, you know that couple we met here at the close of the service this morning here in Miami? Let me tell you a story about them. This is a story. He said, I knew that couple when they were kids, brand new married. The girl was not, the young lady was not an Adventist, but the young man, her husband, was not an Adventist. He says, they came to me after they were brand new married, and the girl just tiptoes up to me and she says, Pastor Kuhn, I like what you're presenting here. It just feeds my soul. But my husband, who has also been listening to you preach, is not a Seventh-day Adventist. And he is wondering if the keeping of the Sabbath is really all that big a thing. Could you help him? Could you give him a study so that he can know that God means business when he says, remember, remember the Sabbath day? Pastor Kuhn gave the young man studies. And at the conclusion of the studies, he asked the young man, is it clear? He says, it's clear to me. I can no longer work on this Saturday because it's God's holy day. He says, but, there's a big but there. He says, but my employer is not going to be very happy when I come to him and tell him no more working from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Because that's the busiest day in my workplace. But I have no choice. God's going to take care of me. I'm not worried. So he went to his employer, and his employer had a response, very short, you're fired. You know this place is too busy on Saturday. We can't have this kind of stuff going on here. You are without a job. Well, the young man went home. Pastor Kuhn visited him 2 days later. And the young man, Pastor Kuhn looked at him and said, you don't seem to be worried. I hear you lost your job. He says, I lost my job, but I'm not worried. God's promised that if I seek him first, he's going to take care of me. I believe God. Let's say that together. I believe God. Amen. So, Pastor Kuhn went away thinking, now there is somebody that's going to go places and do things. So, 2 days later, the young man gets a letter from his employer. Amazing. Pastor Kuhn said they'd been praying, too. Of course, because he knew the young man would lose his job after what he had told him. So he got a letter from his employer, and it said, Dear Mr. Willard, the young man's name was Willard. Dear Mr. Willard, we have been thinking this over. You are an important worker. You have done the job way beyond what a lot of other people in this workplace have been doing. We want to honor your decision. You can have Saturday off. And we're going to restore your salary. Pay your salary for the 2 weeks that you've been without a job. And what is more, because you're so valuable, after we thought it over and talked it over in this office, management has decided that we're going to double your salary. This is a true story. Pastor Kuhn told us. God is a generous God. Amen? God is a generous God. Indeed. Psalm 32:8. One illustration here. Psalm 32:8 in God's word reads, I will instruct thee. Who is the I? God. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's that precious promise, the gift for instruction, teaching, and guidance, which we all need in God's word. And I want to illustrate that with a story about my own experience. When we started with the ABC Prayer Crusade with Pastor Glenn Kuhn, traveling some years ago, we had just finished our first swing through the eastern states, and we went back and forth almost every year, east coast, west coast, states in between, north, south. And as we had concluded meetings at the Corona Church and were on our way to the Newbury Park Church, Pastor Kuhn was in the lead motorhome, I was in the second motorhome, I noticed just maybe 5-6 miles out of Corona that his motorhome was smoking like a battleship throwing up a smoke screen so the enemy couldn't see it. I said, Pastor Kuhn, you don't see it from where you sit, but I see it back here. I can't really see you. I see a smoke screen between where I sit and where you sit. And that is a no-no on California freeways. We can't go far before someone from the highway patrol is going to say, pull over. Pastor Kuhn pulled over. And he said, Brother Kuhn, Brother Newhart, I want you to take my car. I'm going to unhitch it and drive and find a mechanic. Brothers and sisters, this was Sunday morning. It was in Dairy Country. Find a mechanic in Dairy Country on Sunday morning. But he was the boss. What do? You just start out. So I started out. You ever gone someplace and you don't know where you're going? Anybody? Yeah, that's me. I'm driving around and I'm saying, oh, Lord, we need a mechanic. But where? All I could smell was cows, dairy country. I didn't see any shops, garages, or even houses for that matter, dairy farms. Driving along, thank you, Lord. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And I threw in Isaiah 42:16, and I will bring the blind. Was I blind? Yes. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Lord, you know where there's a diesel mechanic. Lead me to him. I'm just driving wherever. Boss said, drive. Find one. Well, a few minutes later, thought voice came to me. Next place that shows up on the right, stop. Ask if there's a mechanic available anywhere in this area. Well, there was a cabin. I drove up to the cabin, knocked on the door. Pleasant-faced man came to the door, and he said, "Hello, hello. Any trouble? Anything we can do for you?" And I said, "Yes, we've got a motorhome out on the freeway, and it is smoking something fierce, and we need someone to fix whatever it takes to fix it up. Do you know where there's a diesel mechanic?" was my question. He says, "I happen to be a diesel mechanic." Brothers and sisters, that was the first home on that 15 minutes of driving I'd done that I even saw in the first place, and there was the diesel mechanic. God knew where that mechanic was, right? God answers that prayer. God answers prayer, brothers and sisters. Sometimes not that quick, sometimes years, sometimes weeks, sometimes hours, but God always answers prayer. Amen? We are in a world that is filled with violence. Nobody needs to tell you that. You just need to look at the news media. We need to know how to cope. And at our meetings last evening, I focused on the therapy of thankfulness, an appropriate subject at Thanksgiving time, right? This afternoon, I'll be focusing on another therapy, Bible therapy. To cope with stress through the promises of God, through the ABCs of prayer, through the new heart experience that we can receive just for the asking. And we can learn that God will enable us to receive what He offers, to be obedient servants to Him. Brothers and sisters, if you choose to wear this little pin that we are partners in prayer, will you stand with me right now as we come to the closing hymn this morning? Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. Do you believe that prayer works?
Amen.
Yeah, that's good examples. Of... I want to conclude our service by singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," 499.